AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO presents the newest Ask the Expert show, Shooting from the Hip. It's an hour of straight talk about firearms. When can you carry? How long do you have to wait to purchase a firearm? What about safety, training, and so much more? Your host for Shooting from the Hip is Jeff Pedro. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer and currently assigned City of Kettering Detective. As owner and lead firearms instructor for SIM training, Jeff is here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Here's Jeff on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome my listeners to Shooting from the Hip, our third show. Boy, it's exciting. We've had lots of callers, lots of feedback on our emails telling people or telling us how excited they are about finally having a forum to express their opinions about firearms and firearms-related issues. Today we have a show that's going to be very interesting and intriguing. But before we get started, there's just something I feel committed that we have to get covered. And I want to dedicate this show today to the men and women of our armed forces who place themselves in harm's way, and particularly to the members of the armed forces who have made the ultimate sacrifice in years past, protecting the many freedoms that we enjoy in this, the greatest country on the earth. I ask our listeners to please take a moment this weekend to reflect on the significance of those contributions and let a member know that you appreciate their service. I also want to take this opportunity now to extend a special thank you to a personal friend, a real American hero, a local boy who, his name is Marine Sergeant Scott Bunker. Scott sustained some pretty substantial injuries fighting in Operation Matador in 2005 over in Iraq. And remarkably, after many surgeries and a lengthy recovery process, he's almost fully recovered, although he has some sustaining issues that he deals with. He refused his medical discharge from the Marine Corps and is currently participating in training, anticipating, believe it or not, an upcoming deployment overseas. He's retooled himself to become a sniper observer, and it's truly a remarkable individual who exemplifies the fearless dedication to military service of those committed to spreading democracy around the world and protecting the many freedoms that we have. Thank you to all of our veterans and all who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Today, there's a couple things we want to cover. I want to talk a little bit about competitive shooting. I know there's a lot of people out there who have expressed an interest in competitive shooting, and they don't really know where to get started. Well, we're going to give them an option. Also, today, I want people to keep in mind that we got a special promotion going, and anybody that calls in this weekend indicating that they heard us on WHIO News Talk Radio 1290 AM 95.7 FM, they're going to be given an opportunity to get a free registration for a friend. If they register for First Shots class, one of our upcoming classes, and we'll give you the dates and times of those classes as the show goes on, their friend comes for free. And we want to extend that opportunity to our listening audience. Okay, concerning competitive shooting, when we talk about competitive shooting, essentially what we're dealing with is we get a bunch of shooting enthusiasts together, and they're basically going to go through a course of fire that's predetermined, and they're going to have a ranking, so to speak, and then they issue awards or certificates and things of that nature. And I want to talk about some of the different types of competitive shooting that are out there and that are very common. Perhaps the kind of on the low level, not by any means am I demeaning it, but the entry level would be bullseye shooting. And that's where people can get a .22 pistol, and they shoot a course of fire that typically ranges in distances from, say, 20 feet to 50 feet, and it's a single-hand, very slow, timed shooting, and then it progresses all the way up to where you have single-hand. The timing is a little bit shorter, and then they look at their scores, they compare the scores, and obviously it gives them an opportunity to provide a rank order. But the fun of bullseye shooting is that it really emphasizes the basics of getting a good grip on your gun, maintaining a good sight picture and sight alignment, and then ultimately getting a smooth trigger press so that you can be very, very accurate. And it really reinforces and enhances the basic fundamentals of shooting. So bullseye shooting is something that people typically want to get involved in, and many of the sportsmen's clubs around the area, one in particular that we're very familiar with is the Miamisburg Sportsmen's Club, offer bullseye shooting on a regular basis, and we at SimTrainer have periodically run bullseye shooting matches based on member interest over the last several years. So that would be kind of an entry level for people to get involved in competitive shooting. Another area that people can get involved in is through the International Defensive Pistol Association. They offer a more practical competitive shooting opportunity whereby shooters who are experienced in the fundamentals of not only grip, sight alignment, trigger control, but also things like drawing their firearm from their holster, accessing their firearm from a concealed location, moving from point A to point B, using cover, and the various types of obstacles that they might have to shoot around or over, they're given an opportunity to put a little bit higher stress level into the game. And again, when I mention practical competitive shooting, I'm talking about they're looking at getting people prepared for ultimately a potential real-life encounter. And what they do there is they presume that many of the people coming to an IDPA match, again, the International Defensive Pistol Association, they would have those basic skills, and they have to get certified indicating that they are capable of doing so for the safety issues involved. And then they're subjected to a variety of very innovative, realistic courses of fire. The individual may start, for example, with his gun in the holster. When the timer goes off, he'll have to run to a barricade location. He'll shoot two shots from the right side, two shots from the left side. Before he moves from cover, he'll have to perform a reload. He'll then, while moving from point A to point B, he'll have to fire three shots at maybe a moving target that might be advancing at him, maybe moving side to side, maybe rocking back and forth. He gets up to the next barricade. He then has another set of targets that he has to engage, again, possibly and likely having to do another reload and manipulating his weapon. And then he'll move to maybe a third or fourth and or fourth location and continue the course of fire. And scores typically are based on time and accuracy.
Quick question for you, Jeff. If somebody's going to go through that, is there also the old, they're going to pop up with a little grandmother who you shouldn't fire at?
Interesting thing. Many of the courses of fire have good guy targets and bad guy targets mixed in. You might be shooting a course of fire where you have what looks initially like four bad guy targets,
yeah,
and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pops up a good guy target, and you have to avoid shooting the good guy target to avoid getting the penalty. The comparison there is in real life, in a real situation, like in active shooter situations in typical locations where something might happen, you're going to have innocent bystanders, and you have to be aware of that. The IDPA and the training that I'm going to talk about in the competitive shooting we teach at Sim Trainer emphasizes those aspects because they recognize the fact it's a serious responsibility, and along with that responsibility goes those kinds of issues.
If I can take it just a little bit further, somebody goes through your courses, they become proficient at utilizing a firearm and the safety aspect as well, and all of a sudden they are in their home and they now have a loaded weapon that they are confident, they've educated their family the best they can. But real quick, in educating your family, is there an address to that person who owns a firearm that, or how do you best educate your family that if there's an intruder in your home, here's what you need to do because I'm going to be prepared to fire my weapon or my gun. Is that something? I mean, let's talk. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, that's the first thing. I've got a little 5-year-old. I don't want them going, "Daddy, Daddy," and coming out a hallway when there's somebody coming down the hallway and I squeeze a trigger.
Absolutely. And Tommy, that's going to go beyond that. Just to give you an idea, and for comparison's sake, the fire department recommends you go through fire drills in your home, getting your kids ready for a potential situation where they may have to evacuate the house. We recommend that you discuss the issues relevant. You establish a safe room. If something happens, they're to stay in their room. You're going to probably close their door. If they hear things going on, you making challenging comments to the intruder, they're going to close their door. That lets you know that they're aware of what's going on, and then you're going to take care of the situation. Or if there's time, they may retreat back to your room where they can get behind you, and you can, in fact, take a defensive stance and maintain that position.
Okay.
Absolutely. It has to be discussed.
I was going to say, how could you not?
Yeah, and let me extend that to outside the home, in the car, and when you're out in public, because with concealed carry, the firearm is going to be going with the people wherever they're going, and you need to be discussing those kinds of issues. What do you do if dad or mom get involved in a situation where they have to use a gun to protect the family, whether it's just drawing the gun and ordering the person to get away, or ultimately they get involved in an altercation? You don't want that chaos to be as bad as it would be without that prior preparation and training. So
it's a very important point.
And again, let me just kind of do some parallels to the training we do. Our training and competition kind of go together at Sim Trainer. What we do in our competitive shooting league on Tuesday nights, we call it the T3 League. It's the Tuesday competitive shooting competition. What we do is we reinforce all the skills and drills that we teach in our advanced training. In our advanced training courses, I just want to talk a little bit about those. Our advanced training, the level one handgun, for example, above and beyond basic handgun, where we just get people exposed to typical concealed carry type weapons. Handgun level one is mastery of the fundamentals. And the nice thing about level one, once you get through handgun level one, that involves drawing from a holstered position, being able to reholster your gun, being able to load and charge your gun in an efficient manner, being able to get a proper grip, proper sight picture, proper sight alignment, and manage the trigger very well, and to do that in a very, very efficient manner. Those are the basic fundamentals. The nice thing about that class is, once you learn that, this is interesting, and many people challenge me on this, but I can show them time and time again, there's really nothing else they need to know about shooting. Then all we have to do is reinforce those basic fundamentals under increasingly challenging circumstances, and that's how people become great shooters. That was taught to me at a very young age when I was in law enforcement. I kept asking instructors, I want some advanced techniques. They said, you've learned everything we can teach you. Now you just have to put yourself in more challenging circumstances. So our handgun level one accomplishes that, and we recommend everybody that is going to come and shoot in our competitive league, they take handgun one first. Handgun level two then exposes them to what to do when you come up to a barricade. People think, well, you just shoot around the barricade. Well, it's not as easy as you think. It might be a doorway. It might be a mailbox. It might be a garbage can. It might be your car. Whatever the barricade might be, you need to negotiate around the barricade so you can make an efficient shot while at the same time providing yourself with adequate cover and concealment to prevent yourself from being shot from the adversary that you might be engaging. So we talk about managing cover and contact. And then related to that, and also in handgun two, we do relative position shooting. What do you do if all of a sudden you have to draw your gun in a spontaneous situation and you're seated? Can you get to your gun? Have you thought about that? Have you ever done it? How about if you get knocked down, the assailant has a gun, a club, a knife, whatever, he knocks you to the ground and you have to get your gun while you're laying on your back? Or what about squatting or kneeling? We do all that in that level two. We teach them how to shoot from the barricade and do those sorts of things. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and looks like we have plenty of calls available. Come back to us at Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back, listeners. Again, you're listening to Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, the host of the show. We're here from Sim Trainer. We're here talking about competitive shooting, but before I talk any more about competitive shooting, I want to remind our listeners that we have plenty of lines open. Call in at 457-1290. Mike from Centerville, we're going to go to you in just a minute. I just wanted to conclude an issue that we were talking about before the break. Mentioned that at Sim Trainer, our competitive shooting protocol, after you've taken that initial course and then you get into the subsequent courses, will then proceed to shooting on the move, shooting at moving targets, shooting at multiple targets, and then that's in handgun level three. Then handgun level four, you'll be moving into shooting in low-level light environments and shooting with and without the assistance of artificial light.
No, Jerry, and real quick, at Sim Trainer, where, first of all, are you located at?
Yeah, Sim Trainer, we're located down at 2031 Dryden Road. It's right across from DP&L, real easy to find, exit 50A Adam off of 75.
If they want to learn more about the classes, can they just go to the website at first and read before they call you?
Absolutely. Just get on the website at www.sim-trainer.com, and you have to put the dash in there. Or you can call us at 937-293-3914. And remember, if you call in this weekend and you have an interest in attending our First Shots, award-winning First Shots program, you pay for yourself and your friend comes for free. Again, 293-3914 if you're interested in that. Also, in reference to that competitive shooting, the last class you're going to take is what's called the spontaneous assault. And in that class, we switch focus from pointed aimed fire to spontaneous instinctive shooting, because that's what's really going to happen in a real life situation. And that, instead of getting the sights usually within 15 feet, you're just going to draw your weapon from your holster, point in the direction, and because of repetitive practice and the training that we give you, you're going to make accurate shots. Once you've completed that five class protocol, you're going to be real prepared to enter yourself into the next level of training, which is our competition on Tuesday nights. And what we do on Tuesday nights is we take the stalls down in the shooting stalls. Everybody moves downrange. We go one person at a time in a very controlled environment where we have a safety officer. We have a very challenging course of fire set up with pop-up targets, moving targets, good guy, bad guy, decision-making targets, and you have to do a course of fire in a specific protocol that's spelled out ahead of time. And again, it's based on time. And the nice thing about that, it's giving you some of that prefabricated stress exposure that people just don't get an opportunity to do in a normal recreational shooting environment. It really makes it for realism and gives you a chance to find out where you need to practice on the individual skill sets that we've taught you prior to coming into competition.
Can people come in to watch that at all?
Absolutely. And that's what
we
encourage.
Because I think that'd be kind of cool to watch.
That's what we encourage everybody to do before they get involved.
Tuesday nights?
Tuesday nights from 6 to 9.
And no charge to come in
and
watch.
No charge to come in and watch. They come in and watch. They watch 2 or 3 weeks. They decide, hey, I might want to get involved in that. Before that, I want to take handgun level 1 and see what's going on. Hey, let's go to caller. Mike from Centerville. What can we do for you today?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Hey, I was in Walmart about a week ago, and I'm an NRA certified pistol instructor. And I ran into a guy that was looking at airsoft pistols because they looked real. And he was planning on carrying this in case he had to flash it to scare somebody. And I spent 15 minutes trying to convince this guy that this was a bad idea. And he bought the gun anyway.
Yeah, you did the right thing, Mike. You did the right thing. We don't recommend that anybody carry a toy gun or a gun used for other purposes in an attempt to try to scare someone, because we tell people from the beginning the only time you'd ever draw that gun if it was a legitimate situation where you may intend on using it to defend your life or someone else's life. This whole concept of scaring people can get them into trouble, not only personally but legally, because if the person on the receiving end thought the gun was real and it was a situation that didn't warrant the drawing of a gun, then there's potential criminal charges for menacing, threatening behavior that could result from that encounter. So your advice was absolutely on point, and it would be very consistent with what we would recommend. People shouldn't carry anything that looks like a gun with the intention of, quote, scaring, unquote, anybody. You carry a gun for personal protection. You get trained in the use of the gun. You understand the safety issues related to that and the like.
Okay. And also on your competitive shooting you were talking about, there are many, many scholarships that go unused every year from colleges for competitive air rifle shooting.
Yes, not only competitive air rifle shooting, but the shooting sports in general. And unfortunately, part of that's from kind of the negative association that universities put on guns and students. That's starting to change. I will assure you that Ohio State, for example, has one of the biggest college shooting programs in the country, and they're spreading the word around the country, and the NRA is doing it also, and together they're getting the message out there that it is a shooting sport, it's very competitive, people want to participate in it, they just simply need to provide people with the exposure, the location where they can get it done, and then good things are going to follow.
Right. I have an 11- and 13-year-old who both shoot guns, and they both can handle any pistol I have. And when we walk into a gun store, both those boys can, you know, clear their gun, empty the magazine, check the gun before they ever pick it up. And the guys at the gun stores are just amazed that an 11-year-old knows to do that. And it's just training. And people have to have the training out there, and they have to teach these kids how to properly use these guns.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to Mark down at Sim Trainer. We got some interesting things going on. Remember, people, the lines are still open. Call in at 457-1290. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip at AM 1290, 95.7, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO, presents the newest Ask the Expert show, Shooting from the Hip. It's an hour of straight talk about firearms. When can you carry? How long do you have to wait to purchase a firearm? What about safety, training, and so much more? Your host for Shooting from the Hip is Jeff Pedro. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer and currently assigned City of Kettering Detective. As owner and lead firearms instructor for Sim Training, Jeff is here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Here's Jeff on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip. I'm your host, Jeff Pedro, from Sim Trainer in Moraine. Today we were talking a little bit about competitive shooting. And
I want to now go down to my associate and colleague, Mark, down in at Sim Trainer to talk about something else that's exciting going on down at the range today, just today. Mark, hey, you there?
Yeah, what are you? We're in the middle of a class, our basic handgun class, and what's different about this class is it's all one family. I'd like to put one of the family members on the air. How's that sound?
That's great. Let's listen. Let's hear.
Hey, talk us about why you're in this class.
Oh, great. We love this. This is our second time we've been down here. We took the first shot last month to celebrate my birthday, and the whole family came down, kind of have fun, learn about handguns, and I have to tell you, it was fantastic. We absolutely, every single one of us, and it's our whole family, enjoyed it tremendously.
I have a quick question for you, if I might. What led you to take an interest in wanting to be trained in firearms?
Well, we were considering purchasing a firearm, and I felt like my husband and I talked, and we said, gee, if we're going to do this, we think the whole family should be educated, know what they're doing, so we can choose the right kind of handgun, and so that we can all handle them safely. We wanted to be safe and informed, so we came down with that in mind, and now we're taking, we did some shooting. It was great. All of us were learned a lot. And now today we're taking the step to learn a little bit more specifically about guns so we can make a better selection and just have kind of a fun family activity.
Ma'am, tell the listening audience, you mentioned that it's you and your husband and your children. Tell us a little bit about your children, their background, and where you see this whole thing about handgun education fitting in.
Well, we have three children. Our oldest daughter's 21, and we have a son that's 16 and a daughter that's 14. Our son's pretty inquisitive, and we didn't want to have a gun in the house with someone that might experiment and check things out on their own. So that's really one of the reasons we came down here. We'd like some, you know, to do personal safety, but also sporting. We think it'd be a fun family activity to do shooting. We were all pretty amazed last month when we were down at how much fun it was to shoot, but also how just kind of doing that focusing really was relaxing.
You mentioned a couple of critical things, and I just want to alert the listening audience to, we talk about fun family experience. That's one of the things we promote at Sim Trainer. We want it to be fun. We want it to be educational. It's obviously safe. People leave there with the impression that they had a great experience, and then they're likely to come back. And hence, people like yourself and your family, you come back and you take additional training. I happened to stop by the shop earlier today, right when you got there, and when you mentioned earlier that you were trying to select a particular handgun that might be right for the family. Tell us what your intentions are once you make that choice and what's going to go into some of those decisions.
Well, as we're learning today, because Mark is explaining how to hold the gun properly and how to fit the gun. So that's one of the things we're looking at, the different, how you fit them. And then I think even today we're learning how they load them. We're just trying to find guns that are comfortable for each person. And it's kind of interesting because not everyone likes the exact same gun in our family. So it wouldn't be, so that's really what we're trying to do is find one that fits you. And we haven't really gotten out to shoot today, but I think we're going to do some more shooting, and then maybe that will help us make a decision.
Yeah, as soon as we get off the air, we'll be going out into the range.
Yeah,
and you know, one thing I wanted to mention, Jeff, when we came down last month for our first time at First Shots, I personally was petrified. I was really, really concerned about handling the gun, about even being around it. It scared me. I wanted to do it because I felt like I had to if I was going to have a gun in the house. But it was amazing. Even after just that first shots class, I became so much more, I just felt a lot more comfortable. Now I'm hoping I'll become even more comfortable, but it was great. I really think everyone should come down and take at least the first shot. It's amazing about making you feel like you understand guns. You learn the safety rules. I mean, they've got these like four special steps you're supposed to take in firearms, the basic safety. It's great.
And one of the things you touched on earlier was the inquisitiveness and what that does in terms of dispelling all that mystery once you've learned how to handle the guns properly. And it's no longer this big mystery, something that we now got to go in and sneak and check out more. We just do it as a big family activity, and everybody learns how to do it, and especially to do it safely.
Right, and a number of points came up when she was talking that I just want to kind of reiterate and emphasize. When she mentioned she was scared, one of the purposes of the training is to relieve that fear and make people feel comfortable around guns. I know I've had this discussion with Mark and several other people who, like me, grew up around guns, and that fear really wasn't there because we were taught at an early age respect for firearms, and as a result, that carried with us into our adult age. And then two other points. You mentioned the fit of the gun and getting a gun that's personalized for the individual. Very, very, very important. And I know last week several people called in and they mentioned the one person said that they'd bought a gun and it wasn't right for them and they ended up being stuck with it more or less. The value of doing it this way and getting the proper training ahead of time, emphasizing the safety, the weapons, the functional operation of the weapon is going to be a great choice because they can make an informed decision. They won't have to waste money, and it'll be right for them. Thanks a lot, Mark. We're going to go to a couple callers, and then we'll get back with some of the other issues later on. Let's go with Mike in Dayton. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, I heard there on a rumor that they're supposed to put a bill in Congress about carrying a concealed weapon in a park. Do you know anything about that?
Well,
Go ahead.
I think I can answer the question. Sorry we lost you, Mike, but carrying a weapon in a bar, there's proposals to modify the existing laws, and the current laws prohibit the transportation of firearms into liquor establishments that serve alcohol in open containers. And that's not likely to change in the very near future. However, it's constantly being revisited because there's places like restaurants that serve alcohol in open containers where an individual who might be a concealed carry permit holder would be prohibited from carrying, even if they were just going in there to eat dinner with no intention on consuming alcoholic beverages. So there's no proposed legislation per se right now, although it's an issue that comes up frequently for the people who feel it's an inconvenience to have to secure their firearm in their vehicle while they go in and have dinner with no intention of consuming alcohol and then come back out and running the risk that their vehicle will be burglarized or broken into and the gun could possibly be stolen. So it is an issue, but right now there's really no legislation pending. Let's go to Ron in Fairborn.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing fine, Ron.
I have one comment and two quick questions. You mentioned about the toy guns, and I have a brother that spent 23 years with the Houston PD, Special Investigation Narcotic Division, had a criminal pull a toy gun on him. He had just did a drug deal and wanted to get his money back, and the guy just pulled the gun on him. My brother ended up fatally shooting him, and they didn't realize until later that the gun was plastic and it was, you know, it's very realistic looking. So that's not a good thing to do to have a toy gun at all.
Absolutely. Reinforce what I said earlier.
My quick question is, I have a wife that's about 120 pounds, and she shot before. We've been training before, trying to get a handgun that would be suitable for her. I wanted to know what you recommend as far as the type of gun and the caliber.
I'm going to make a recommendation. Actually, I'll make several recommendations, and this is based on training thousands of people over time, particularly civilians, over the last 5 years. The Glock 19 is probably the universal first selection for most people who want to get introduced to a semi-automatic pistol. Okay. Along with that, you might try the Smith & Wesson M&P in the compact version, or the Springfield XD. Those are by far the three that we put people in far and above all the rest. That's not saying others aren't good quality. I'm just telling you from personal experience, the Glock 19 kind of stands above the other two. The Smith & Wesson M&P's making a charge, and then the XD's there because they're very easy to operate, very easy to maintain. They fit in people's hands. One of them in particular, the M&P, has an adjustable grip to adjust for the individual size and grip.
You know, a quick question here for Ron and for Jeff. Now, Ron, you said you guys had done classes, your wife as well?
Yes, sir.
It might be another state.
I know where you guys are. We've been there. We haven't started training yet, but...
Well, because I was going to suggest, Jeff, if Ron and his wife wanted to come down and talk to you or Mark or whatever, where those three guns maybe are available for them to see or to hold, is that something that his wife could do?
Absolutely. We would encourage that or private lessons because we can customize the firearm for the individual.
Really?
Absolutely.
Ron, would that be helpful?
Yes, it would.
All right. Well, Jeff, what's the phone number there again?
Again, it's 937-293-3914. You can call around the clock. If we're not there, the answering machine will pick up, and we'll get back with you at our earliest convenience.
Or, of course, they can go to
sim-trainer.com,
and they can leave a voicemail.
Or they can just send us an email. They'll send us an email, and we'll get back with
them. Ron, how's that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay, all right. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
AM 1290, 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. And, Jeff, we're going to come back, aren't we?
That's right. We'll be back. We'll talk a little bit more about competitive shooting and a couple other issues we want to discuss.
You're tuned in to the Country Club of the North. Ask the Expert Show, Shooting from the Hip, on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Okay, I want to welcome back our listeners to Shooting from the Hip. I'm your host, Jeff Pedro, from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training facility. Today we're talking a little bit about competitive shooting. We went down and saw Mark down at the range to talk about the family that's down there enjoying the shooting sports and taking some training. Right now I'd like to go to Amy from Dayton. Your question, Amy.
Hi. My question is, I'm considering getting a gun, but I don't know that if there are times you don't recommend having one if you have a child that might mentally not be able to respect that.
Well, Amy, I think in broad terms, you got to realize that regardless of the kid's maturity level, it's going to be your responsibility to make sure if you choose to have a gun in the home and or to carry a gun that you keep them from access. And again, that's regardless of their kid's maturity level. And I want to emphasize, one thing that I think I'm pretty good at talking about is I have six children of my own. And one thing I've learned over the years that peer pressure will override parental advice much of the time. And that being the case, you've got to take extra precautions to make sure that gun does not get in the hands of the kids. Now, that's not a hard thing to do. You keep it in a locked place and you keep the key where nobody can get it. Or you have a combination lock on the lock and they can't get it and you eliminate that possibility. But it's a very significant responsibility. But I would say regardless of the maturity level of the children, that's going to be a serious thing that you have to consider if you go to get a gun.
Amy, is that something that you can envision as Jeff's giving you the answer? Is there a place that you could, you know, Jeff, is there lock boxes?
There's all kinds of lock boxes with a variety of different configurations, key locks, finger-activated locks, all kind of locking mechanisms that fit in closets, they fit in drawers, they fit in, you name it. You can put a lock box in a different location in your house and secure the firearm.
Amy, would that make you feel more comfortable?
Yeah, that definitely would.
I think the best thing to do would be give us a call, stop by the store down there at 2031 Dryden Road during our open hours. First of all, visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com and look at some of the things we offer. Send us an email, tell us your concerns, we'll set something up. We can give you a hands-on demonstration.
Yeah, I was going to say, can they come down
absolutely.
And just, Jeff, and go, hey, show me what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Okay. Any of my staff, they're trained in that, and they can specifically go over those issues. And that would be just walk in the door and information inquiry.
Because there's got to be a comfort zone for Amy
ever
doing this.
Yep.
Amy, does that help?
It does. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much for calling WHIO Radio.
Okay. Let's go to Wilbur in Fairborn.
Wilbur, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, guys, I didn't have a question. I've just now been made aware of your show.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome. You have a comment then. Well, great. Tell us what you feel.
Yeah, I was just wanting to let everybody know, yourselves, that we've got a club out of Fairborn that shoots high power. I don't know if very many people know really what that is. When you talk about skeet, you talk about trap, everybody knows that. But we shoot a high power club out at the Greene County Fishing Game outside of Xenia.
Yeah, Wilbur, we're well aware of that. In future shows, matter of fact, we're going to focus on skeet and shoot, or skeet and trap, and because that's part of the shooting sports. And I thank you for calling in and letting us know about that. And stay tuned over the next several weeks or months, and we're going to address those topics specifically.
All right, that was a great call. Yeah. You got time for one more call here?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take Steve from New Carlisle.
Steve, you there?
Yes.
All right, Steve, go ahead with
Steve.
Your question or a comment for Jeff.
Okay. Thanks. First, I want to comment and say that I enjoy the show. First listened to it last week, and I have questions.
Go ahead.
The first question is regarding open carry in Ohio. Is there a regulation regarding whether it has to be unloaded to be able to open carry?
No, there's.
And my second question is, my wife took her CCW class a little over 3 years ago, and I wondered if there was a limitation on the time where she actually went and applied for her license after taking the classes.
Well, the first question on the open carry, you want to make sure that open carry is not specifically prohibited, but remember there's secondary laws that if you create inconvenience, annoyance, alarm by carrying openly, there's a potential for some legal intervention. The advice we give people is the concealed carry law in the state of Ohio is substantial. Carry the gun concealed. Don't try to push the plate. Try to make a point. Carry the gun concealed and you eliminate those secondary issues. Relative to the CCW, her getting her initial training, and what I want you to do is give us a call at 937-293-3914 because I want you, not over the air, but personally, to talk to one of our staff or me and let us know her specific circumstances. Give us that specific date so we can answer that question precisely to address her particular issue. There are time limits, and it's going to depend on where she got her training, whether or not the training was state mandated, and the like.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. One thing I wanted to mention, reference to competitive shooting. There's an interesting sport out there. It's called cowboy action shooting. That's where they dress up in the garb of the Old West, and they have three-gun shooting competitions. And I want to encourage the listeners, when they have a chance, if they have the cable television network, Channel 101, the outdoor channel, on Wednesday nights from 5 to as long as you want to stay awake, you can watch all the competitive shooting you want. And if you really want to get into what it's all about, that would give you a great opportunity to see what's going on out there. Again, Channel 101, the outdoor channel on the cable network, and you know, I frequently find myself trying to pull myself away from it at midnight because they repeat the shows several times, and they talk about IDPA shooting, cowboy action shooting, bullseye shooting, and what's going on around the country in a variety of different venues.
Jeff, if people don't have cable where they can't pick it up, are there websites where, you know, sometimes you can stream video or get more information beyond sim-trainer.com?
Right.
Is there any websites that maybe you can direct people to?
Absolutely. IDPA.com is probably the most comprehensive, and they will in turn branch you out to a variety of other different competitive websites where you can see what's going on and see if that really interests you.
Okay, and you got 1 minute here before we wrap up. Next week, it's going to be, it's all over again.
Next week, Mark and I will be back, and we're going to focus on an update to some of the legislation. There's been some interesting legislation in the last week, some proposals that we want to make sure the listeners are aware of and take some calls about some concerns because there's a lot of misinformation getting distributed over the Internet.
And I think what happens is that we get calls every week of similar kind, and I think maybe it's important for this particular show that you reiterate the clarification of certain laws so people will hear that, and they'll not go, well, that's not what my neighbor told me. Well, is your neighbor a judge? Is he a lawmaker, a law officer? You know, and I think that's important. I think people hear it over, and they need to hear it from you guys again and again and again.
Right. As we mentioned on the first show, and it's kind of a theme that runs throughout our whole philosophy, we want to get the truth out there. That's what's important.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening to Shooting from the Hip. Next week, all over again, we invite you to join in at 2 p.m. on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.